My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there called go.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Wow.
Hey, happy Thursday, everybody.
It is a Thursday.
How we all doing?
Doing good.
We doing good?
Doing good.
Great day.
I forgot my lunch.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I did a thing last night.
What'd you do?
I upgraded the air fryer, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
But I hadn't really done anything with it yet. I had like a nice, I mean, it wasn't small, but it was like a normal size air fryer. I got one of those like double bin.
Oh, like, you got the big boy.
Yeah.
You got that, the
Match Cook Ninja.
You got that Mormon family / like true Catholic family,
yeah.
Eight kids, uh-huh. And you need a big cooking.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I cook, because it limits the mess. It does a great job.
Air fryers are great,
but if I'm gonna like do all of this, I want a batch cook. I want a meal prep. You know what I mean?
All right.
So I made my first batch of from scratch fried chicken in the air fryer.
Oh, okay.
Came out flawlessly. Made a nice little honey sriracha drizzle.
There we go.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was great. Made some bomb chicken sandwiches, made some garlic fries from scratch, made a nice little dinner for the wife.
And then you just forgot it.
Pieced out all of my leftovers into like little meals, so it was ready to go.
Yeah.
Packed it up in my bag, got some little pickles on the side.
You Billy Madisoned it.
Oh, yeah.
Got my lunch packed up, my shoes tied tight.
Yep, everything was ready to go, and then I got halfway here, and I looked in my passenger seat, and I went, crap!
I did that in the car this morning on the way here, too. I really looked over and realized I forgot my water bottle.
Did he actually crap?
I was saying, he crap. Oops, I crapped my pants.
Yeah. Because I'm wearing them, and I just did. Yeah, I forgot my water bottle at home, too, so I'm all out of sorts. Yeah.
It throws you off, man.
Yeah, I feel off.
Okay. Is there something we can do to help you?
No, I stopped at a Chevron on the way in and picked up a bottle of Smart Water and squeezed my Mio into there, but it's not the same. Not the same.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear about that. Some people feel naked without them. That's like the people that are, I think most of them, like you go to the baseball games or the soccer games and you see all the moms with their Stanleys. I'm usually wondering how many of those are filled with booze.
Oh,
you know, those moms are attached to those Stanleys.
I mean, if it's a duo, if it's the mother and the father. If they're both there, that's definitely got booze.
Oh, yeah. Mom's probably got some Sauvignon Blanc in there or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's either that or some Bloody Mary. You know what I mean? Like, you just get those dark straws and you can't tell. It would be kind of funny if they pop the lid off and you just, like, you see them take a nice little pull and you just got like, a little red mustache from the Bloody Mary.
Why's your mom got purple teeth?
it's like an Up in Smoke with Cheech and Chong when they're in court and Tommy Chong walks up to the, because they're all geeking out, and he walks up to the judge's stand and takes a swig of her water and goes, it's effing vodka, man.
Yeah, man. That movie I saw probably at a far too young of age.
Oh, God, yes. I think I was like 9.
I made it to college.
Oh,
My parents weren't big Cheech and Chong folks.
Nor were mine, but my brother and I got that Hollywood Video. We got to go to Hollywood Video, and they're like, "Oh, you guys are on the account. You can rate it R."
Yeah.
Like that was back in the day. I was like, "I'm like 10.
Yeah.
What are you doing?" They're just like, "Well, your parents say it's okay, so rated R it is."
Like you're gonna let me go get Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they did. It was like my brother and I would get all of the horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
We would get Yeah. Cheech and Chong Friday. Yeah.
Well, now we know what your major malfunction is, Private Pyle.
Man, there was a lot. I think my brother and I were 11. I think we were 11 when we watched Up in Smoke for the first time.
My parents
time.
Were like you mildly
can keep
mad.
On looking, but you can't get in. That was awesome.
Yeah,
but
then my dad was like, you know what? Screw this. You've already watched it. Put it on again. I want to watch it.
Yeah, dude. It was.
E.T. the extra testicle always stands out for me.
I think for me, it was the movie that I saw at far too young of an age was Porky's.
Oh yeah.
I was probably 6 or 7 for that one.
Yeah, I think I was 9.
Hiding behind the couch watching it with mom and dad unaware.
That was my buddy RJ. We were over at out in Dilley, Oregon. At my buddy RJ's house, and he had an older brother. I think it was Gary. His older brother Gary was watching Porky's.
Mm.
And we were like, we're just going to slide on in here.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything. Happen. Parents were asleep. We were
really
just running
amok.
Turn
on the shower?
Yeah. Yeah, we were just like, whoa.
Barbed wire.
Oh, man.
That was. Oh, yeah. I remember I rented that one.
I saw that in the theater.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, here we go. Wow. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the age. Visit them online, vancouverford.com. Favorite horror movie you saw way too young of an age? Mine was Silence of the Lambs.
Ooh, yeah.
8 years old in Spokane, Washington.
I think we rented that one as a new release. We watched it like on a New Year's Eve, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But for me, it was The Exorcist was the one far too young.
Yeah.
Saw that at my aunt and uncle's house. And
Is Silence of the Lambs a horror or that's a thriller? More of a thriller. Yeah. But I mean, when you're 8, I'll tell you, that was horrific to me.
Arachnophobia?
Yeah.
See, but I think more of like a comedy.
Poltergeist. I think Poltergeist is up there for me. I think the Poltergeist is up there. Don't do that.
Yeah. There you go.
Stop that.
Child's Play scared the crap out of me because that was the one that the babysitter threw on for me.
It?
Well, and that was also right when My Buddy Dolls came out too, basically.
Yes. It the first It is the one that got me.
I am 40 years old. If I saw It today, I would be too young to watch It.
That movie got me.
And Children of the Corn was another one for me.
Who ruined Clowns
I think I was about
more?
11 or 12.
John Wayne Gacy or It?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
John Wayne Gacy was real.
Yeah, but the thing was, we knew the name, but because of the lack of proliferation of social media, you didn't really see it.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of knew it and associated it, but you didn't. But it was everywhere.
Yeah. That was, I'll tell you, John Wayne Gacy, when you saw the pictures of him as a clown.
Oh, God. Terrifying.
You were like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, that tracks 100%.
I mean, actually, every old clown does.
Yeah.
Including Bozo. You know, everyone's like, oh, Bozo the Clown. It's like,
Aliens.
Yeah.
Aliens, the second one.
Mm. Aliens. Not
2. No, just Aliens. Because Alien.
Alien and Aliens.
Yes.
Plural.
It's before we started putting numbers on everything. But yeah, Ripley getting in the big robot and fighting the alien.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Ooh, Cujo, age 6. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
You're
not going to like dogs after that one.
We watched Cujo in Film Lit my freshman year of high school. I can't remember why, but that did come up, and I was like, it's an odd choice for a movie.
Yeah, the only one that sticks out for me from Film Lit was Das Boot.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
We did Cool Hand Luke.
It's the only one I remember. Das Boot.
Wow.
Yeah. Good old, I think, Stellan Skarsgård in that one.
Skarsgård. Also, speaking of It, same family.
Bill.
Yeah. I didn't know they were all related, but all the Skarsgårds are all related.
Oh, yeah. Stellan, really? Alexander, yeah. Bill.
Well, Skarsgård's a super popular freaking name up there, man. It's like Anderson.
Is it, though?
I think there's a third, even lesser known brother, too.
Yeah,
I don't remember what his name is.
They've all worked in, like thriller horror stuff. There's another one was played Floki in Vikings.
Okay, sure. So,
and he did that character incredibly well.
Bill, I think, was in was the title character in the new Crow movie.
Yes, he was, and I feel like that movie's going to be on streaming in like 3 days.
Yeah,
because it bombed.
Or perhaps next hour.
Yeah. He did look just like Brandon Lee, though. It was kind of creepy.
He did.
He looked like disgustingly alike Brandon Lee.
Yeah. All right.
That's one of those wives' tales that actually turned out to be true. The whole Brandon Lee thing. Like, oh no, he got shot on set because the gun was loaded with an actual bullet. And it was like, no, that's actually what happened.
No, that is what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
It sounds like, you know, fake.
Hmm.
What, who was the one that did it recently?
It was an Alec Baldwin movie.
Oh, Rust.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes, called Rust.
Yeah.
I had no part in that.
Butterfly flaps its wings somewhere, and Jeff Rust kills somebody.
All right. I've done a quick search. Skarsgård is the 2,273,756th most popular surname in the United States.
Okay.
But they're not from the U.S.
Yeah. I mean in the world. I was saying sorry. Well, on Earth.
I mean they're
not in the United States.
Okay, yeah.
Not in the United States.
They're Nordic, correct? Even though Das Boot was a German movie.
Now I'm seeing you have it's the 1,765th most popular name.
Mm.
Look, there's some big discrepancies there. About a million people.
About a million people, yeah. A million surnames.
Or a million names above it.
Yeah.
A million names above it. All right. Yeah. I think I just see unique names and I just go, yeah, that's not popular anywhere. Not in America. Nope.
Nope.
Then not popular anywhere.
America.
Hell yeah, brother. Skarsgård first recorded in the United States in 1920 with one family living in North Dakota under that name. How about that?
I mean, North Dakota tracks.
That is actually probably why you think it's more popular because you lived in North Dakota for like how long?
2 years.
2 years, and you probably met that Skarsgård family.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, it is popular. I have a lot of those too.
There's four of them.
There's
Stellan, Gustav, Alex.
Strong.
Oh, there's five. Walter and Bill.
Gus Skarsgård?
Right. I mean,
dude, what a badass name.
What? Gus Skarsgård.
Yeah. Who's fighting that kid?
Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody is fighting that kid.
And then he got Bill standing on the sidelines. He's like, really? I'm Bill Skarsgård?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is my other brother, Dave Skarsgård.
Hey, take a seat there, Willie. Willie Skarsgård sounds way better. He should go by Willie.
He should.
Gosh. Man, all right. Okay.
99% of the Skarsgård family lineage reside in Northern Europe.
All right.
So, yeah, it's all there.
It's all there.
Yeah, Northern Europe.
Where there's just not a lot of people.
Your Scandinavian countries.
It's
sweet.
It's
no, Swedish. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it? Scandinavian, huh?
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that we always like the you know the euphemism for the Swedes is the Swedish, and it's like, well, ooh. So the thing about that is there was a lot more grunting and a lot less like sweet Swedish, like they were very murdery, like wildly,
like those Vikings.
Yes,
that we're talking about,
like the Swedish chef.
You know what I'm saying, yeah, we like
I'm gonna kill you,
and it's like, yeah, like that, they weren't really. That's not Swedish, guys.
How by quickly the way, would the Muppets get canceled?
Right,
right? They're like, dude, that's your Swedish. The guy's just going.
By the way, super underrated old school SNL sketch was Andy Samberg doing the Swedish Chef ringtones. Go look it up on YouTube. It's fantastic. He does Axel F. It's great.
Yeah.
We
talked briefly about this past weekend's Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. They had like the George Washington skits were really good with Nate Bargatze. The golf skit was hilarious.
Dana Carvey as Joe Biden was.
Yeah, Dana Carvey was on it. Jim Gaffigan was on it.
Yes.
Because
he's doing Walls, right?
Yeah, yeah. Andy Samberg was on it as the first gentleman.
To be honest, the Gaffigan, he looks the facial features that he does, even though he doesn't really look like Walls, he somehow captures it. Carvey looked like Biden.
Yeah.
That was terrible. That was insane.
I feel like Gaffigan gets a bad rap. He gets kind of that rap of just the lame like dad joke
because
comedian.
Because he always goes like this when he's doing his joke.
I enjoy Jim Gaffigan greatly.
I like Jim Gaffigan too.
Jim Gaffigan always gets a pass for me because he's the driver of the car when they try to say meow.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you saying meow? Mahopping
all nimbly bimbly from tree to tree. My drinking milk from a saucer.
Yeah, Super Troopers, also a great movie.
One of five movies that came overseas with us one
time. The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Yeah. There were a lot of really good, like...
We can't pull over any further.
Indie comedies back then.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe it's still the number one selling DVD of all time.
Yeah. I would assume that's going to hold forever. Because nobody's buying a DVD anymore.
But same dudes though. Beer Fest, very underrated.
Also great.
Yeah, but you had like you had Super Troopers. You had what was it called? Beer League with Artie Lang.
Oh yeah,
where he plays takes it way too seriously. Yeah.
Was that before his nose fell off from all the cocaine?
No, right in the middle of it.
Okay.
Like it was a tough time in his life, but that movie was wildly inappropriate, would never get made right now.
You know what horrible movie that I still love to this day that was in that same period? Uh-huh. Basketball.
Yeah. Oh. No, that has some of the greatest.
I said no Steve Perry strut.
That has some of the best cameos of all time. Bob Costas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's Al Michaels. Yeah. Like, you had some phenomenal cameos in that.
Yasmin Bleeth.
Dirty Work is another one.
Yeah. That's one I've never seen.
Oh, really? Norm Macdonald, Chris Farley.
Never seen it.
Norm, he talked about this on, I can't remember what show he was doing before he passed. He was like, the whole premise of Dirty Work was, how far can I take every scene?
Yeah. Bob Saget directed it.
Are you serious?
How far can I take every scene? I might have to go check that out.
I'm going to tell you this cast, and you tell me. Like, it was a movie that was not like, it wasn't pushed out by a big production company or a studio. Norm Macdonald, Jack Warden.
Okay.
You remember Jack Warden?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Old dude.
Artie Lang, Don Rickles. Christopher McDonald, Shooter McGavin, plays a bad guy.
Yeah,
Chevy Chase.
He always does.
Chevy Chase is in it. Chris Farley is in it, and Chris Farley's character might be the funniest person in film. Like, got my nose bit off. I'm not going to ruin that for you.
Oh, that's right. You won't. Oh my God.
Oh well. So, according to the old Vancouver Ford...
I don't know if you're ever going to find it.
According to the old Vancouver Ford text line here, Jim Gaffigan played O-line at Purdue?
Yeah, yes, he did.
I mean, he's a large...
He was a Boilermaker.
I mean, I know he's a tall dude, but...
I think he may have played tight end or defensive line. I don't know. But he did play football at Purdue. He was an O-lineman, number 60. He was a walk-on. It's... Joel McHale, he played tight end at UW.
Washington, yeah.
Yeah, but UW. So, yeah, Jim Gaffigan, if you look at him in a Purdue uniform, you're like, yeah, I can see why he was a walk-on offensive lineman.
At Purdue. Yeah.
And they definitely make football players differently now.
Yes.
Very, very, very differently. And there's also side-by-sides. Greg Olsen can play the young Jim Gaffigan in a movie.
Ooh.
Just do yourself a favor. Yeah. Google Jim Gaffigan, Greg Olsen.
Oh, I can picture Greg Olsen.
And that'll be a dead ringer there. For the FX movie about Jim Gaffigan's life when he gets canceled in sports somehow, they can cast Greg Olsen to play him. Because they did the Aaron Hernandez one now, right? Yeah. After on the heels of Clipped. The Clippers one, the Donald Sterling one.
The dude playing Gronk is immaculate.
He looks nothing like Gronk.
Close your eyes.
But
can't tell.
I'm going to have you pull this audio.
Can't tell. Okay. You cannot tell Gronk from the actor.
Yeah.
It's flawless.
I've only seen the clips of when they're sitting around in the room and Belichick's doing some stuff and then Robert Kraft walks in. And everybody's like, oh my God.
No. It's... If you close your eyes, you cannot tell that it's not Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, I just DM'd it to you right now.
Gotcha.
I'm going to need you to pull that. We're going to have that at some point today.
On it.
12:45 sounds good.
Okay.
Yep. Wow, way over. This one's got away from us.
It did.
Wow. Holy guacamole.
Hey, but it's all good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I mean... We got a lot accomplished here.
We sure did.
I mean, things happened.
We went from Porky's to Jim Gaffigan.
I can see how we connect those dots. And somehow John Wayne Gacy was in there.
And the family Skarsgård.
That's right. The 2 millionth most popular name in the world. I'm going to teach you some sports, too.
My wife, by the way, a big Eric Northman fan.
I don't know who that is.
That's the Alex Skarsgård. That was his name in True Blood.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
The vampire True show Blood. On HBO.
All right.
That all the ladies dug back in the day.
Yeah.
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 They all got all Twitter-pated over it.
Mm. Well, you know, those shows pay off for you.
Yeah.
They do.
Right?
They do. All right. Big game coming up. Oregon, Ohio State. Are we making too much of this? Or is there something to what the starting right tackle for Ohio State said? Danny Dusty on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's amazing we're only 2 days away from Oregon, Ohio State. Number 2 versus number 3, big one down in Autzen Stadium. People are already showing up.
There's a matriculation of red.
Yeah, I saw, I kid you not, yesterday I got done with the show, and I went down to, like, near the where the Mashofsky Center is, and I saw a kid straight from the airport, Ohio State sweatshirt, just walking around Autzen Stadium.
Scarlet and gray moving in.
Getting a lay of the land. So, now, there's a rumor that, like, 20,000 tickets
were put aside.
That's not true. It's not 20,000. You're not giving up a third of your stadium.
No. Now, season ticket holders may have sold a fair amount.
Not that many, though. What's happening, and people are seeing this like, oh, there's plenty of tickets for sale. What a lot of the season ticket holders are doing is saying, I'll put them up there for $3,500 a pop.
And people are buying
them. And if somebody's going to buy them,
that covers my season tickets for
next
2 years.
But what a lot of folks are doing is they'll have 4 season tickets, sell 2, and then go to the game.
My family used to
do,
my family had season tickets to Trailblazers growing up. We would sell, because they were in the Pacific Division, they would sell 2 of the Lakers games.
Yeah.
And that would literally pay for the season tickets.
And that's why everybody gets mad when you show up to Moda Center and there's all the purple and gold.
Yeah, because all the idiot Laker fans will pay a stupid amount of money for the tickets.
Yeah,
they're totally fine with that.
There will be a big contingency of Ohio State fans. That's just how it goes.
The airlines are not doing them any favors, though. You know that the only flight back is a red eye.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's that, or you have to wait until Monday.
Yeah, well,
I thought that was kind of funny. I was like,
that's a shame.
I know. So I was like,
you hate to see it.
A little Oregon hospitality on the way out. Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Oh, man. But this is a big one that is coming up, and I know there's a lot of people that are making a big stink of what Josh Freier, the starting right tackle for Ohio State, said yesterday after practice.
I'm not a big, I don't like it on national television because you just get... If you get messed up, everybody knows. The reporters, the announcers, everybody. But at the same time, you got to embrace it too. I think last year, personally, when it was a big game, I would kind of shy away from it. But now I feel more experienced and just ready to play the game. And it's a cool environment because you never get to experience anything like this ever again in your life. So,
does he know where he plays?
Yes, he plays at the Ohio State University.
Which he doesn't like the big national spotlight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's just one of those guys that goes out there and pukes before the game, every game, no matter what, and then just plays, balls out.
Well, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. A lot is being made, and Ohio State fans are piling on him too, and they're even saying, "How can you say this?
Like, you why know, would you
big
say
game?
It
why would you?
It.
Yeah, why would you even say something like that? Blah blah blah." I really don't think it is that big of an issue as a lot of those fans do, because think of it in these terms: there's 100 guys on a football roster. Chances are, it's not just one. There's probably 3 or 4 guys that feel that exact same way. Right?
I mean, not everybody who plays, weirdly enough, there's a ton of people in professional sports that are some of the best you've ever seen at what they do, and they are the biggest introverts on the face of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
They want nothing to do with any of that stuff.
Now, the soundbite sounds really bad. Mm-hmm. And the soundbite, especially coming from your right tackle,
yes,
is even worse because of the fact that they're going into a hostile environment.
That's
going
to be very
That
loud.
Is regarded as one of the loudest stadiums in all of college football. Hell, Brock, we were talking with Jerry yesterday, and Jerry Allen said that, you know, the Brock Heward quote, when Brock Heward went on Sirius XM radio and was asking the host, "Have you guys ever been to Autzen Stadium before?" Well, you guys need to, because it starts with a Harley leading the team out onto the field. The fans, there's only 60,000 of them, but they are the loudest, and they are right on top of you, and it does not stop. They have a song at the end of the first quarter that is like this sentimental, you know, song that everybody in the stadium sings. Then in the heading into the fourth quarter, they sing "Shout," and it just does not get quiet for the entirety of the game. Brock Heward, a Husky, calling it a bucket list place to go to watch a football game. When you're heading into an atmosphere like that, yeah, you don't want your right tackle to be saying, "Yeah, don't like it," because when you screw up, everybody notices. Because what do the tackles do often in loud, raucous environments when you're on the road?
Just peeking in.
False start.
Yep.
Right? You get the false starts, and then all of a sudden he's saying spotlight's on you. So that's where the vitriol is coming from. I don't think, like, honestly, dude, I appreciate the fact that he was honest about it. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's ignoring the tail end of it, where it's like, you got to embrace it too.
Yeah.
Like, at the same time, you have to embrace that these opportunities are once in a lifetime. And, you know, you may not like having the spotlight on you, but you got to embrace it because that's how you survive.
Yeah, it's interesting. The left tackle that was in the first half against USC Michigan, he was getting absolutely murdered by one of the best pass rushers in the country. Now, don't get me wrong, he was still going to get murdered, but it came out he couldn't hear.
No.
He couldn't hear, and so he was staring, like trying not to turn his head and make it obvious that he was staring at the snap at the center and snapping the ball. But that was the reason he was getting dusted, is that he could not hear the call at all. And so a guy who has a speed rush that was going to murder him, he chose to just stare inside as opposed to make me taking a peek.
Yeah, there is a stark difference in, like, and I say there's 100 guys on a roster. You've got 22 guys that are starters. When you look at guys who cycle in to games as well, with the amount of substitutions that elite teams have, like Oregon and Ohio State, right? You have about, I mean, we're inching towards 35 to 40 rotational players for both teams, right? I mean, that is, you have a lot of guys coming in and out of the game.
Sure.
Of those 45, you're going to have a couple that feel the exact same way as that right tackle did. 100%. So I'm not going
to
kill the guy for it. But there is a difference
probably
between
keep it to yourself.
What a lot of the guys say, right? Because remember at like Oregon Media Day, all of those guys were sitting there and they're saying, this is why you come to Oregon.
Yeah.
To play in big games, to play on the big stage. And that's exactly why a majority of the guys who are playing for Ohio State feel too. Mm-hmm. And I know it's like starting to be painted as this, oh, they're scared of the... No, they're not.
No,
they're not. There's one guy...
They play in front of 100,000 people every week.
Who probably is kicking himself for being honest with people. But there's guys that are on Oregon's roster that probably feel the same way.
100%.
And there's more guys on Ohio State that probably feel the same way, but they're not good enough to have a microphone in front of him, and he is.
Yeah.
it's going to be interesting.
This is why somebody's in PR is like, what did we learn here?
Yeah.
And then he goes, never say anything that actually matters.
I'm not going to crush kids for that, man.
It's totally fine. I mean,
no way. But penalties are going to play a big role.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing some digging on both of these teams, and penalties, really, they were the Achilles heel of Oregon early.
Mm-hmm.
Big penalties in big situations.
Timely penalties.
Exactly. Drive killers. Mm-hmm. There is one number that blew my mind Wiz, I was digging into Ohio State. We'll get to that after the Big Kahuna with SportsCenter update. All right, we were looking at some stats doing prep for this game last night, and I have gotten to the penalties portion of my preparations for this game. It's a little bit down in the weekly prep, I'm not going to lie. If you look at the penalties per game for each team, Oregon sits at 57th nationally, averaging 6.2 penalties per game, 50.8 yards per game, penalty-wise. And that's, you know, right in the middle part of the country as far as penalties. And I think we all remember, though, how punitive and how many there were in that early going of the season. I mean, it was brutal at times. Some of the penalties that Oregon was getting at the times they were getting them, and the yards that racked up for Oregon from penalties. If you look at, I think it was 9-for-74 against Boise State.
Good God.
8-for-60 against Idaho, right? Not good penalty numbers there. Since then, 36, 49, 35. Much more manageable for Oregon. Ohio State plays shockingly clean games. Now, penalties against, they sit at 4.6 penalties per game for 41 yards, 27th nationally.
Oh, wow.
It's not bad.
No.
It's not bad at all.
That sounds like a couple of little procedure penalties. That's all.
Do you know what number absolutely blew my mind? Opponents' penalties for Ohio State.
Oh, they maybe get some Big Ten cooking?
There have been a total of 113 penalty yards against the Ohio State opponents.
Huh.
They are far and away, their opponents are the least penalized teams in college football.
So maybe there is some truth to the Big Ten officials liking Michigan more.
Right? Teams average 22 yards per game in penalties when they play Ohio State.
I mean, I get it. Nobody likes Ohio State.
The next closest is Army at 29 yards. So that's 7 yards. That's a full procedural penalty in between.
Who leads the country in penalty yards against?
Georgia Southern. Their opponents get penalized on average 9 times a game for 95 yards.
That's kind of crazy, but they do play a breakneck pace and get up and down the field.
Yeah.
But you would expect it to be, I think, honestly, I would imagine Ohio State should be on the other side of that because typically,
yeah, if the officials bigger, stronger, don't like you, you're gonna get more. The officials don't like Ohio State, so they don't throw the flag.
Yeah, I think there actually might be a thing here.
Yeah,
legitimately,
that was wild to me.
Huh?
When look at it, they are 134th out of 134 teams in college football. Should be noted. Army is 131, and then after them is Penn State, Iowa, Michigan, Northwestern. Those are all Big Ten schools, Bob. I like football games like this, though. If you were to tell me we are going to see fewer flags, sign me up.
The Big Ten, it's not maybe not necessarily singularly poor. They're just all very bad, and they just call nothing.
Look, can we have the discussion here?
I just want to say
every conference complains about their officials because remember it was Pac-12 refs before? They're not Pac-12 refs.
No.
They're Big Ten refs.
No, I was saying I don't necessarily think they're poor. They just called Pac-12 refs threw egregious refs.
Yeah.
Big Ten refs just don't throw them.
Yeah,
I don't
all right.
care about more or less flags. Just be right.
Yes,
I mean,
be correct.
Look, man,
be quick in your reviews.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Is like. If you are going to penalize a team, one, be correct.
Mm-hmm.
Two, if you're going to review something, get it done in short order.
Yeah.
Because the long reviews, they are momentum killers.
If it's not immediately conclusive, go with the call on the field stance.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at with that. I will say, having watched USC play 2 Big Ten games already against Michigan and again against Minnesota, the number of times that, like, blatant and flagrant offsides and or false starts that have occurred, and they just go, meh.
Yeah.
And just, we're good.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
There was 5 in the USC-Michigan in the first half alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like...
Would you rather have it that way or a flagapalooza?
I think I'd rather have it that way.
You would.
I think I'd rather have it that way.
So would I.
It obviously it creates problems like it did for USC in the first half of granting first downs that did not exist. But you know, I think over the course of it, like then maybe you push the edges of that boundary a little bit and get away with it. So
according to the stats, because I wanted to see now here, opponent penalties that would give us the most loved and hated teams in the Big Ten. Nebraska benefits the most. Their opponents are the ninth most penalized team.
Interesting. I wonder what it looks like home versus away.
Well, yeah, I wonder how much Colorado game had to do
that's
with
true.
That, too.
Yeah, because that one got the contentious.
Yeah. Yep, Colorado, 9 penalties, 104 yards. Whoa, Purdue had 13 penalties for 165 yards against Nebraska.
That's got to be some personal fouls there. Didn't Nebraska dog walk them?
Yeah, they did, Bob. Yeah,
so I would imagine there's probably some...
No, it was 28-10.
Was it? Close-ish. I thought that was maybe...
But to your
Oregon State, never mind.
To your point, it is... When you look at the penalties and opponent penalties, mm-hmm. most of the Big Ten is hovering right around, like, Oregon is at 81st. Majority of the teams are 81st or below in opponent penalties. There's just not a lot of flags being thrown.
And to be fair, if you know that going in...
That's going to be... Penalties are going to be a factor. I think, like, obviously the big ones when you look at turnovers, and mm-hmm. I think not just turnovers, but what happens after turnovers, right? What does the turnover lead to? Because what we've seen... with Oregon is that we've seen some turnovers go for scores. And when that happens, you all of a sudden, you're putting your back against the wall, right? That's what made that Boise State game so close. That's what made them hang around. That's what let Idaho hang around. It's can you bow your back after the turnover? For penalties as well, and it's not the number of penalties, it is when they happen, because for Oregon, we have seen drive killers that have just absolutely neutered any sort of momentum in a game. And that, to me, is those are the two factors outside of you go down this game and you go dude for dude, they're pretty close. Well, on both sides of the football, advantages abound for Ohio State, but it's still pretty close when you look at that matchup.
Yeah.
That's when you look into the, all right, what are the details that are going to dictate this game then? And that is clock managed by your coach, right? It is turnovers and what happens after the turnover to your defense.
Whose facial hair is naturally colored?
That's, well, that Dan Lanning, big advantage there. He won that one. That's already a win for Oregon.
Chalk that one up on the board.
You could put it on the board. Yes. And then it is the punitive penalties when they happen. I mean, those are going to be the big ones right there. All right. We got to get to Gronk. You got the Gronk audio in?
I do.
All right.
Be there.
We have Gronk audio coming up next because Danny's about to blow your mind. You blew my mind.
It's crazy.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right. 503-864-6326. That's Vancouver 4 text line. We will get this. We'll probably do this. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. We could do it today, though. Can we get a Saturday wedding check-in? I'll be at my cousin's full Catholic ceremony and reception that starts at 2:30 p.m. All right, I'm doing the math on that. You'll be out of that wedding at about right about kickoff time. You should be getting out of there. Like, it's a 4:30 kick. We're going to use the air quotes on that. 4:30 kick.
More like 4:45, 4:50.
Yeah. You'll be getting out of there, hopefully...
I mean, that feels like it's ditching out of the reception pretty quick.
No. I'm saying you're getting out of the wedding.
Ceremony.
No, the full Catholic ceremony. You got an hour and a half mass,
okay,
bud.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
hopefully your cousin is doing the hurry-up drill.
Yeah.
I don't think they...
Spirit of Santi. Let's keep it going, guys.
Come on, red panties.
I have a feeling if they looked at a calendar and it was October 12th, they're not going to do any sort of hurry-up drill for you. But hopefully you can wrap that actual ceremony up in a half hour. Do that a little bit quicker. I know. So, but you'll be getting out of there. Like, if it's a 45-minute ceremony after the mass, then you're gonna be hugging that kick time, and that's when you can just pop the phone open and you can. I think it's okay to go phone and
at
AirPod
table.
at the reception.
Yeah. Well, because I guarantee you, you're not going to be the only person at the table, too, that wants to check out some of that game.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
You might have a little bit of a crowd around you.
I went to a big football guy wedding a couple years ago. It was actually when Ohio State missed the field goal on New Year's Eve right at midnight.
Oh.
Yeah. Then Georgia won, right? And literally everybody
screamed
at the entire wedding at the same time. It was like during speeches. It was like, ah! Father of the bride, football coach, he comes up to start his speech. He's like, Ohio State just lost. And then the whole place went crazy. Yeah, the whole place went crazy. So I think it's okay.
I did a traditional Italian Catholic wedding 2008 in upstate New York. And I want to say that ceremony was like 2 hours. I mean, it was.
You have mass and then the ceremony. What I'm saying.
Yeah, it's, I think it's, we're splitting hairs here. 6 to 1 half dozen of the other. You know.
It's same thing.
You're in the church for the whole thing.
We're saying the exact same thing.
It's all one thing.
Yeah, okay. It's all the same.
Yeah, the pew.
It's 2 hours, man.
The pew's not great.
No, they're hard on your butt.
Yeah.
All right, we have to blow your mind here. Okay. FX they're doing the Aaron Hernandez doc like they did with Clipped, which is essentially you're telling the story that everybody knows already with actors who are portraying people that are all still alive. And the overacting is incredible.
And by the way, you never know any of these actors really either, except for Clipped. You had what?
Yeah,
Ed O'Neill as.
And didn't you have Lawrence Fisherman playing Doc Rivers?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, excuse me.
And then some guy so that looks nothing tell this, like Blake Griffin playing Blake Griffin.
Yeah. So far as I can tell in this Patriots one, though, there's.
Aaron Hernandez ain't nobody. Dead, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, he is dead.
Super dead.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, and there his. I don't know. What is a widowed fiance? What is a fiance who's lost? I mean, are you?
Well, basically a widow.
I don't think.
Not technically, but.
Yeah. See, that's why I asked the question. I don't even know what that is.
You're not married.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy who plays Bill Belichick, we've seen him in some stuff. He played in. I'm losing it.
Nope.
So I haven't heard of him. I thought it was the guy from Suits, to be honest. Or White Collar.
Oh, okay.
The FBI guy from... It's not him.
Not him?
Nope. This guy's name is Norbert.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, I did see that, yes.
Yep.
Norbert, he's got some wicked name, like Norbert Lutz or something.
No, it's Norbert Butts.
No. That's not real.
Oh, it is.
No, he changed, he changed it to that.
His
to
name is Norbert Leo Butts. B-U-T-Z, baby.
See, that sounds like a Simpsons joke at Moe's Tavern.
Yeah. But Patrick Schwarzenegger plays Tim Tebow in it. So,
like that Schwarzenegger family?
That would be the one.
I mean, not that there are many others I'm aware of.
Yep, that would be the one.
No, he's, it's real. He's, it's Norbert Butts is also the name of his father. I thought it was something that you change it when you go to Hollywood and you just go, screw it. I'm going to make it the dumbest thing possible so it stands out.
Norbert Butts the second?
Well, I'm going to hit you with another name.
He's not the second because he's got a different middle name.
Yep. Gotcha.
I'm going to hit you with another great name
here. Oh, wait, no. His real name is Timothy, but his father changed it to Norbert after helping with his birth.
Timmy, wait, what?
Wait, what?
That's what it says, man. I'm just reading the...
He's like, I helped in this!
Yeah. Hey, Doc, step back. Take a step back. I got this.
I don't even know what that means because he helped in the birth?
Yeah.
All right. Whatever. The guy who plays Rob Gronkowski is a young man by the name of Laith Walschlager.
Oh, come on.
I'm just hitting you with the names, brother. All right.
Sweet fancy Moses.
But
he looks like Rob Gronkowski and Tim Tebow had a child.
He kind of does. I think he probably auditioned for Tebow, and they're like, yeah, how about Gronk? And I'll be damned if he doesn't nail Gronk. Again, the overacting is because you know who the people are that in real life is second to none. But here is Laith Walschlager as Rob Gronkowski.
Aaron. What's up, bro?
Hey. I'm Rob.
They call me Gronk.
They call me Aaron.
Nice. Hey, you meet Coach yet?
Nah, not yet.
That tool is f***ing scary, bro.
Come on, guys. Let's go.
That's Tom Brady. Oh, no. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Get high, baby. Cool.
The laugh.
We need to have a Gronk laugh drop.
Turns out Leith Walschlager played football at Delaware.
Oh, with Joe Flacco?
He's a Blue Hen.
You play with Joe Flacco.
No, he's not that old. He's only 32, but he's a defensive end at Delaware.
Yeah. All right. Things I learned. He's a dead ringer. Sounds just like him. That sounds just like Gronk.
Yes.
How tall is he?
6'4".
He's 6'4". He's
6'4", 270. He's a big dude.
All right.
Yeah.
So he's only like, I don't know.
3 inches shorter?
3 inches and about 15 pounds smaller than Gronk. That's the hard part when you're trying to cast Rob Gronkowski.
You have to find, I mean, you're basically looking at, what's the dude from Reacher?
Yeah.
Blue Mountain State.
I think what you could have done, though, right there, couldn't you have just gotten one of Gronk's brothers to play?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
You know, the
but also, like,
the lesser successful NFL ones?
But do they not want to be a part of the stock, probably? I would imagine not a single person involved with the Patriots wanted anything to do with this. Hey, yeah, no, that absolute lunatic we had in our locker room that was killing people.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought I was friends with. Yeah, let me go ahead and relive that.
Man, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
The thing about it, it doesn't sound like very many people were actually friends with Aaron Hernandez. So.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me, but like.
He gave off weird vibes, if you can believe that.
Yeah, they were all probably terrified.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if I ever get arrested, I'm going under the alias of Norbert Leo Butts, and sticking to it.
Going Leith Walschlager.
If you tried to make up a name like that for a show, people would be like, no, that's too much.
Yeah.
Say, Norbert Leo stop. Butts.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well.
Too much.
Let's get to hour number two, shall we?
Hey, you like big butts.
I cannot lie.
Mm.
You other brothers can't deny.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go a little bit to the NFL because the bye week sure fixed everything.
Mm.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.